Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Sharp.
During Jeff Brown's 4 years, he's taken a number of transfers, including three so far this year. We'll rank the previous eight. Let's talk more in Purdue Athletics coming up on Golden Black Radio. Kyle Charter is here. Tom Dienhart right now. Brian Newbert here in just a couple of minutes. Hey, Tom, let's talk a little bit about those transfers. I thought it was an interesting list you put together last week, ranking those eight in terms of their impact at Purdue. We'll sort of discuss maybe where we project those three newcomers who will play for the Boilermakers this season and where they might fit into that list as well. Look, it especially in Jeff Brom's first year, right, was a pretty significant portion of why Purdue had so much success early on.
Yeah, you were covering the team then, so you saw it firsthand, Kyle. You know, just a lot of players who played key roles in that fun 2017 season. Dave Steinmetz, of course, up front. Big offensive tackle from Rhode Island. One of Brom's best grad transfers, I think, ever. Josh Okonye, yeah, of course, in the secondary. T.J. McCollum, the linebacker from Western Kentucky, was big. I guess there was a big swing and miss with Corey Holmes, a wide receiver from Notre Dame. But still, boy, those were some players there, at least three, that really made big impacts that initial season.
Yeah, it was a miss on Holmes, but those others did make a big impact. I mean, it was pretty significant and why Purdue was able to win, what, seven games in that first year. Okay, so you ranked these. I think we differ a little bit because I went through and just for the fun of it ranked them myself. You had Ben Holt, one, Dave Steinmetz, two, Okonye, who you mentioned, three, McCollum, four, Shane Evans, five, Spencer Evans, the kicker, six, Dennis Edwards, seven, and Holmes, number eight. I went in ahead and threw in TJ Stormett as number nine since he was around for 3 days, or maybe even less than that. Made a big impact. All right, so what's your feel there? I mean, Holt number one, that's interesting. I mean, I have said this before. I think that tackles are, I don't want to say they're not completely misleading. They can be misleading as a stat. So, you know, I wouldn't put him number one, but look, a guy who made a pretty big impact in his 1 year, no doubt.
Yeah, I got some blowback on the message boards. I get it. I understand. And I agree with you to an extent too, Kyle. You know, T.J. McCollum probably should have been higher. Maybe he's number one. I mean, you can make a case for that. Dave Steinmetz could have been number one, or Coney for that matter. You could even move Spencer Evans up higher. I mean, you've seen a lot of Purdue football. I've seen a lot of Purdue football. I certainly haven't seen many Purdue kickers with a stronger leg than Evans. Really impacted on kickoffs. And then, of course, at least that one big field goal against Iowa. So, again, you could have made a case for two or three guys to be number one overall. I guess, who would you put number one on top of that list?
I put McCollum number one just because I feel like, you know, he made such a big impact on that team that first year and really sort of solidified the linebacker core for Purdue. So I went McCollum, Okonye, Steinmetz, Spencer Evans. Here's my feeling on Spencer Evans is that in some ways he's still impacting this Purdue team because I think he made J.D. Dellinger so much better. I really think that he did because Dellinger sort of learned from him, you know, strength and all of that, and it made Dellinger so much better once he came off the redshirt. I put Holt then in at, what would that be, five? Edwards at six, Shane Evans seven, Holmes eight. Holmes just didn't work out. Yeah, I think he had one catch and a couple drops. But I think the interesting thing is you can debate, right? That's the good thing about it.
Mm-hmm. Great points on Dellinger and Evans. I mean, you know, it did force Dellinger to redshirt, and he's still around, right? Maybe one of the best kickers in the Big Ten this year. Maybe it wins some games for the Boilers like last year with that big kick at Northwestern. Yeah, you're right. And then, of course, I think JD really had to buckle down. And as you noted, Kyle, really improved his leg strength. You know, last summer we saw that on his kickoffs. And he seemed like just a more competent kid overall, too. So you're right. You know, Jeff Brom always talks about wanting competition. And competition does things like that, makes everybody sort of sharpen their weapon and get better at their craft.
All right, so, you know, those guys were pretty impactful on Purdue early during Jeff Brom's tenure. It's been less so, it feels like, here in the last couple of years, you know, maybe Ben Holt aside here this last season. But Purdue has, again, hit the transfer market this offseason a little more similarly to how they did, especially that first year. With Greg Long, the offensive tackle coming in from UTEP, Austin Burton, the quarterback from UCLA, and Tyler Coyle, the safety from UConn. I mean, clearly two out of the three, the offensive tackle Long and Coyle the safety, are going to get opportunities to make impacts. And you never know with the quarterback, right?
Yeah, you know, we saw that last year under center, right? I mean, who could have imagined the attrition Purdue would suffer at that so key position. So, yeah, you never know, right? Austin Burton from UCLA via Massachusetts, who has great football bloodlines. Who knows, you know, if he can hit the ground running, run that offense quickly in these crazy circumstances, you know, maybe he has a chance to get on the field should something crazy happen to guys like Plummer and O'Connell. But like you said, Greg Long – and Coyle, especially Long. I mean, as you know, Kyle, these guys don't come to sit on the bench. They come to start. They must think they have a good shot, and especially in the case of Coyle and, again, Long, I guess if they're not starting, I guess I'd raise my eyebrows a little bit. You know, Long maybe projects as a right tackle. That's where Will Bramble probably is going to be the starter, a redshirt sophomore this year. He's had a lot of injury histories, though, down in El Paso, so be mindful of that. Coyle was very productive at UConn. I know their defenses have been horrible. I mean, historically horrible. But, again, he's a guy, like Ben Holt, I guess, who made a lot of tackles on defenses that weren't that good. But, again, he's a guy who's played a lot of football, and you'd like to think maybe he can factor in that starting lineup right away on defense at a safety spot.
Yeah, Purdue needs some veterans back there in the secondary, especially now with, you know, the news last week with Kenneth Major. Has jumped into the transfer portal. I know those two guys don't play the same position in the secondary.
Yeah.
One, Coyle, a safety, and Major, of course, a cornerback. You know, I had, early in Kenneth Major's career at Purdue, man, I had such high hopes for him. Then he, you know, he gets that interception taken away from him last year against Nevada, and, you know, it just seemed like it was sort of a downward spiral, at least in terms of Purdue's confidence in him, to the point where, you know, he was playing, but was playing often because some other guys were injured at the end of last year. What happened there? I mean, and maybe the bigger question is, how impactful is that now on Purdue going forward? They lose a guy at a place that they didn't have a whole lot of veteran experience to begin with.
Yeah, it hurts the depth. I mean, it wasn't great depth there to begin with, especially proven depth. Of course, Major, this would have been, I think it's, well, yeah, his fourth year on campus. He'd have been a redshirt junior this year. So, yeah, he sort of did fall out of favor with the staff last year. You could see that his playing time sort of got chipped away. I'm sure it had a lot to do with execution on the field, and I'm sure your confidence gets rattled as well, and then becomes a downward spiral. But, again, we really saw the emergence of Corey Trice as the bellwether cornerback last year, the 6'3" redshirt freshman. Dedrick Mackey, of course, came in with Kenneth Major. He sort of still solidified himself as that other cornerback. You know, they're going to need a guy like Niles Beverly, a redshirt freshman this fall, to really make a step up. And I wouldn't be shocked if Purdue isn't shopping for a cornerback or hasn't been shopping for a cornerback in the grad transfer market as well. I mean, I could see another offensive lineman coming too, Kyle. And don't be shocked maybe if we see some attrition from some veterans on the Purdue roster. We've already had, I think, Kyle, 10 guys, I want to say, into the transfer portal from last year's team. And again, we still got several months before the season starts, so who knows, maybe we see some more roster shifting here before our very eyes in the coming months.
Yeah. We'll stay tuned, Tom. Thank you.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring in Brian. We'll talk a little bit about the NCAA, its move toward allowing athletes to profit from their image and likeness. We'll do that coming up here next on Golden Black Radio. Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Homefield Apparel. Homefield makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs, with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there too with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
And carryout options available as well at the 6th Street Dive, which I have taken advantage of once or a dozen times here during the last month. All right, Title Charter's Brian Newbert. Hey, Brian, let's talk a little bit about the NIL, the likeness and image and whatever, that the NCAA is moving toward here with athletes. I have always joked about this before that so EA Sports, what in 2002 or 2003, wanted fans to be part of the game. And so my knucklehead friends and I, who way back in the day used to dress up in silly costumes for Purdue games, went out to the big parking lot there on the levee, and they paid us $100 to be in the game. And I had always joked that I got paid more as just some knucklehead to be in EA Sports college football than any of the people, you know, actually in the game who, you know, were the reason why people were playing. It won't be the case, perhaps. I mean, the video game won't be around, obviously, but looks like athletes are going to be able to make some money based on their likeness. That I don't know if in 5 minutes you can encapsulate what all that means, but what all does that mean?
Well, first off, very, very well done cramming your claim to fame into this conversation. Now, what does this mean for college sports? It means it had to do this. I mean, it simply had to do this. You know, states were changing their laws to make the NCAA's longstanding laws unlawful. And, you know, Congress was coming at this issue. You know, this day has been coming for a very long time. And the NCAA had every opportunity throughout its modern history to get out in front of this and do something proactive. And instead, it fought it. It spent millions and millions of dollars lobbying against it, and then its hand was forced. Last week's news, though, however much of a what you might call a defeat this was for the NCAA, isn't a bad thing, because people tend to equate this with pay for play or whatever the boogeyman is. Out in the court of public opinion, paying the players. This isn't necessarily paying the players. This is the players getting money, but this isn't the athletic departments using their money to pay them. If athletic departments want to continue paying their coaches God sums, if they want to keep upgrading their facilities 3 or 4 years before it's necessary because they can. They can keep doing that. This should be, in theory, expense offloaded. This should be them outsourcing the player's ability to earn to the open market and not necessarily to the schools themselves.
Yeah.
Obviously, the players get scholarships, and I'm not belittling that as a valuable commodity, but the balance between the value of the scholarship and the value of the brand, so to speak, in a lot of athletes' cases has gotten a little bit out of whack here. And this day has been coming for a very long time. This was simply the NCAA's hand being forced. This kind of pushes the NCAA into a new era of kind of fairness, of a little bit more equity, and a little bit more of a student athlete friendly sort of model. That being said, it's not like this has been entirely unfriendly to the student athlete. It's still a pretty damn good deal to play college sports, but this is a little bit more balanced. We will see obviously how this works out. The nuts and bolts of this haven't been completely ironed out quite yet, so we will see exactly what the system looks like. I know people are worried about doomsday scenarios of corruption and cheating and nefarious behavior, but we will see what the final situation looks like and what safeguards the NCAA has in place for this sort of system.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on most of those points. I think it's, you know, been sort of a long time coming, and I don't know how you're going to be able to stop the wave once you get, you know, Congress involved and sort of the push by states to aim this direction. But I do go there. My brain does, you know, with the potential for some schools to take advantage of this from a recruiting point of view. How in the world do you prevent that kind of thing from happening, from it becoming, you know, a major part of a recruiting push for a player? You know, talking about deals that he can have with local businesses. I just don't know how you avoid that. How do you prevent that from happening?
Right. Well, based on what's been reported thus far, and it's not the final system, but it looks like the NCAA is setting up this structure to where the school can't really be involved in it. It can't be part of the recruiting process. Now, we all know every rule is made to be broken, and there's a hell of a lot of rules on the NCAA books right now that are being broken as we speak. But that's just one more layer of oversight that this is gonna require. I was surprised, based on what's been reported so far, that the schools aren't involved as a facilitator, because I figured it would make a lot of sense for the deal liaison to be the same guy as the person who's in charge of making sure the whole thing is compliant. But they're not doing it that way, apparently. This may not be a deal that makes the rich richer. I know that's what everybody thinks. The face everybody puts on this is Alabama football, that the local car dealership is going to buy every player possible by putting them in commercials. The guardrail for that would be the open market. I mean, if a business wants to do that, the business might not be very good at business, and might not be around very long. I think players, if they're smart, if they think this way, if they understand this part of it, a player can stand out differently in a lot of different places. I like to use the example of Rondell Moore in Texas. If Rondell Moore had stuck to his commitment to go to Texas, is he a gigantic star in Austin, Texas, where there's so much going on, where the University of Texas alone probably has 5 to 10 first round potential picks on its roster? He's not maybe the star that he is at Purdue. You know, there's a lot going on in Austin, Texas. It's a very happening place, to sound like an old person. The Dallas Cowboys are a big deal in Austin. In West Lafayette, Indiana, obviously a much smaller market than Austin, Texas, but one that also touches Chicago, one that also touches Indianapolis, where you are a star from day one and one of the biggest stars in college football. Things are different between those two markets, and you can stand out differently in a lot of places. So the kids who realize that I could go to Ohio State and I could be a really good player and I could potentially go to the NFL, or I could go to Purdue and be a star in my market, that could lead a lot of these guys to look at places where they could raise their profiles faster. I don't know. Obviously, that's a long way down the line. What this does is this probably really hurts smaller schools where the interest isn't quite the same, where they're not as big a deal to the local economy as they are in larger communities. But that's the NCAA structure anyway. The big ones are eating the little ones every single day in terms of the way the NCAA is set up. So that's there has been no parity between the haves and the have-nots in college, college basketball or college football. Now maybe there's a little bit more parity between the haves and the kind of haves.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting debate about sort of where Purdue and schools like Purdue. I mean, what would you qualify, you know, Greater Lafayette as is it even a mid-major market, a small market? I'm not sure when you look at Power Five type landscapes, but it's interesting to see. And I think, you know, you raise a good point that I hadn't necessarily considered, but the idea of Rondell Moore being a good player, obviously the same player, but with a lot of other players at Ohio State versus, you know, being the guy at Purdue. Do high school kids think of that? Maybe, but probably some of them, maybe not all of them, but some certainly do.
What a lot of them think of is early opportunity. And if you're a guy who has to wait till he's a junior or a senior to play, hey, chances are you're not going to be in a commercial, or you're not going to do this or that or whatever. So the earlier the opportunity, the faster you have to get your name out there, the better your chances are as a sophomore or a junior to have these sorts of opportunities. But kids nowadays are looking for early opportunity anyway, because they all want to go pro. So that all kind of dovetails together. So, what impact it might have, we don't know, but it is certainly a way to look at it.
What more impactful for one sport more than another, more for football than basketball, or
oh, no,
any idea?
It should be far more benefit. It should be far more impactful to basketball, because basketball is a sport where guys' faces aren't covered by helmets, where the individual stands out a lot more than they do in football. I think, you know, the endorsement money is so much bigger in basketball. From an apparel company perspective, what I did not see in the initial reporting about this, and this might not be something that's even known yet, is can Nike or Adidas sign a kid out of high school and then send him to college? Now, as long as the apparel company that signed him isn't a competing entity with the apparel company that sponsors the school he goes to, I know this opens a whole can of worms in terms of recruiting, but can Nike sign a kid out of high school and then have him go play college basketball instead of a situation where he might really consider going to the G League? The timing of this is probably coincidental, but it does come right on top of the NCAA losing four really high-end talents. I think it's four really high-end talents to this new G League program. And, you know, I understand that college basketball has been through the one-and-done era before. The pre-one-and-done era, and survived. Yeah. And it's going to survive no matter what. But there are existential threats out there to college basketball that could stand to be headed off. The last thing the NCAA wants to do is invite credible competition that could cut into its market share, give Nike or ESPN reason to invest in other areas of basketball. That's just not in college basketball's best interest. The best they can do to keep these kids in college basketball needs to be done. This might be a means to that end to a certain extent. But I certainly think on kids, especially kids who stay in college for a few years, Robbie Hummel as a junior or a senior people would have been all over him, because he's wholesome, he's marketable. You would buy a minivan from him the same way you would buy a pair of sneakers. I mean, it will be a really interesting tell to see what exactly the open market defines a college athlete's monetization value as, because when you look for a spokesperson for a product or a business, you're looking for a certain connection. You're looking for a certain resonance with people. Are you going to rely on the word of a kid who hasn't bought his first car in his life to sell you a car? I have no idea, but that is what remains to be seen about this. There's a lot of stuff that we don't know what a student athlete's market value is. in that open market. We don't know how big of a deal this is actually going to be. This is going to be a really interesting story to watch. I know that some people think this revolutionizes things. Some people think this is the end of the world. Chances are this is somewhere right in the middle. Chances are this changes things, but not in a demonstrable way.
I think it's interesting, too. It doesn't always have to be Robbie Hummel. It could be Tommy Luce. I mean, that, you know, it's about,
correct,
you know, image and
yeah,
brand and all that as well. We're running out of time, but that, I mean, that's an interesting point, I think, that that doesn't always mean you're the best player. Sometimes it means you've somehow marketed yourself. Yeah, yeah, so
right.
Interesting.
Well,
and I know you did a lot
guys,
more. Go ahead.
Just to use Purdue basketball as an example, Purdue had a couple of teams where Carson Edwards would have been obviously a much sought-after commodity. Matt Harms might have been as well because he was so charismatic and people recognized him and he stood out. That might have been a situation,
yeah,
too, where the guys who weren't the best players on the team were getting these kind of opportunities just because of their image. And that's the thing where people kind of wonder how what this is going to do to locker rooms. But hell, stuff's going on in locker rooms anyway, playing time.
Yeah.
Whatever else, girl problems, yeah, whatever it might be, college basketball is no stranger to locker room strife. So it's just kind of one more thing, I guess.
Yeah. All right, we're out of time. I know you did a lot more on this on the quarantine podcast. People can go back if they missed that and listen to it as well. Hey, thanks, Brian.
No problem, Kyle. Thanks.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back for the wrap on this podcast. We'll do that here in a moment on Golden Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Charter Team, Remax Ability Plus, is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, sell, downsize, upsize, anything else, give me a call or text 765-412-5217 or email me at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, Industrial and Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. And now East End Grill, again, taking your carryout orders. Whatever your entertainment needs are, the cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Much more on the site at goldandblack.com. Log on there for more on the Boilermakers. All right, that'll do it for our show for this week. Back again next Monday. Of course, other podcasts dropping throughout the week as well. But thanks to our sponsors, including Home Field Apparel, East End Grill, First Source Bank, Charters Team, Green Accessibility Plus, Follett's, the Sixth Street Dive, and Purdue Federal Credit Union. For Tom Dienhardt and Brian Ebert on Panel Charters, thanks for listening.